Christmas for the next couple of Sundays. I have been doing a study in Matthew chapter 1, going through the genealogies. It's amazing how God uses people that you're unaware of in the Word of God. He uses fallen people, broken people, remade people. And when you read through, if you read through the first 17 verses in the book of Matthew, you'll find the genealogy of Joseph. As Joseph goes back to Abraham, follow it in the book of Luke, and you'll find the genealogy of Mary all the way back to Adam. Jesus Christ was an heir to the throne, both on his mother's side and his earthly father's side. One of my favorite characters in the Christmas narrative is Joseph. Joseph kind of gets forgotten in all of it. Yet Joseph was a faithful follower, powerful follower. Should be faithful, I think, Amber. I may have messed up this morning where I put that up. But he's a faithful follower of God. I don't know if we can begin to imagine the struggle that he had. When God moved in time to send his son Jesus into the world, God chose a perfect vessel in Mary. But he also chose a perfect vessel in Joseph. Because Jesus was coming into the world as a helpless infant, he needed someone to be a protector, to be a guardian, to be a teacher, to be a mentor, to be a role model. And he chose Joseph. Matthew 1, verse number 18. The Word of God says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." I love verse number 20, the first couple words. If you underline things in your Bible, this is a good phrase to underline, because this would help us not make bad, dumb, stupid decisions. Here's what it is: "But while he thought." While he thought. You know what? He just stepped back and he took a breath. I have no doubt that whenever he heard this, he was hyperventilating. This was not what he had chose. But while he thought on these things, it's amazing what God will reveal if you and I will just step back sometimes and wait and trust God. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David." He was reminding Joseph of his royal descent. And then he uses two words that we read throughout the Christmas story. "Fear not. Fear not. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep." Here's another key word. Circle this, star this. Three little letters, D-I-D. You know what he did? He obeyed. He obeyed. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Three thoughts today. Number one is this. I don't know of another way to describe it, so I'm going to call it a tragedy. The tragedy that moved the life of Joseph. Joseph was a man that was handpicked. He was personally prepared by God for a special mission, but his life was not without trials and tragedies. How many of you here today would say, "Preacher, I've never had a trial. I've never had a tragedy in my life"? How many can raise your hand? Not a one, amen. Maybe one of the kids in the nursery can. But anybody above nursery age would have to say, "My life has been one trial, one difficulty, one whatever ever since." Now, some of us get into tragedies because of our bad decisions. And all God's people said, "Boy, that wasn't very powerful." Some of you don't believe that, but you will sooner or later. Just live long enough, and you'll look back and say, "Man, that was a bad decision. Bad decision." But a tragedy happened. Verse number 18 and 19 in the life of a young Jewish couple could be considered a tragedy. A tragedy. It was a tragedy of a what we'll call a shocking discovery. Can you imagine? He's visiting Mary, and Mary says, "Hey, I've got some news for you." Joe's like, "Okay, I'm going to have a baby." "Well, of course you are. We're going to get married. We're going to have..." No. Soon. What were some of the thoughts that went through Joseph's mind? "I wonder whose it is." No doubt this is shocking. He's betrothed to her, which in all reality means that they were essentially married. They just weren't living together. But they were expected to be pure until they got to the marriage altar. Then he discovers that she is with child. And then she says, "It's the Holy Ghost." I'm pretty sure that this is the promised Messiah. Now, no doubt, many of us have made excuses whenever we've gotten into trouble sometimes and we've come up with some whoppers. But I'm going to tell you something. In the mind of Joseph, this had to be one of the biggest whoppers that he'd ever heard. "You're telling me you're going to have a baby and God is the father." Wow. Imagine what everybody else thought. No doubt, whenever he discovered this, it shattered his dreams. No doubt, like most men, Joseph was looking forward to the day when he and Mary came together to share their lives. At this point, he was probably preparing a home where they would live. He was busy putting together all the things that they would need, but then the news came and it shattered him. Mary's with child and Joseph's not the father. For a time, it must have felt like his heart had been literally ripped out of his chest. All of his plans, all of his hopes, all of his dreams fell from his hands. I don't know about you, but I felt like that before. I felt like that something happened and my dream slips through my fingers. And we see in verse number 19, Joseph's faced with a very difficult decision. The Word of God says in verse number 19, it says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." That phrase there means without a public charge of adultery. Because Joseph is a just man, he knew what the law required. In the Old Testament, under the law, when a woman was found guilty of adultery, She was to be stoned to death. So was the man. Joseph loved her. No doubt as he pondered these things, his heart was broken. It was a time that he just didn't know which way to turn. I believe that he prayed a lot. He probably cried out. The words that you and I use sometimes whenever life throws us that curveball. God, why? What am I going to do now? Sometimes we do our best to make our plans and get things all lined up like we think they ought to be, and then life happens. It's not really what we wanted, or it's not exactly what we expected, but whenever these things happen, one of the things that happens is that we become blind. We become blind to this truth. We become blind to the fact that God is moving behind the scenes. Whenever things happen in our lives, we don't understand. We can't say, well, that wasn't part of my flow chart of my life. That wasn't. Sometimes we become blind to this. God's doing something that we can't see. How many of you agree with me in this situation with Joseph? God was doing something that Joseph could not understand. How many raise your hand and say that? I see that. But we're looking at it from this side. Imagine, what was Joseph thinking? This is a tragedy. The things that take place in our lives are not accidents, but they're carefully planned and arranged events designed by God to help us grow and mature. If we're going to be greatly used of God, there will be some trials along the way. I read this recently, and I've pondered it. I've thought on this. It's hard for us to understand, but those whom God would use, He often hurts deeply. You know why? Because God wants us to take our love off the things of this world and put it toward Him. Joseph could have done a lot of things, but here's what Joseph did. Joseph stopped, and he paused, and he prayed, and he thought. Verse number 20. The Word of God says, but while, that means it was a continuation, but while he thought on these things, no hope, no way out. But then God sends the answer. So not only do we have the tragedy that moved his life, but we're about to see the task, the assignment that managed or marked his life. The angel tells him something. It says, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. What's the first thing the angel says? Fear not. Trust God. God's in control. You can't see it. You can't understand it. But fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The task involved a divine revelation from God. Sometimes whenever you and I get into a place and we don't know where to turn, we don't know what to do, and we're waiting and we're wondering and we're worshiping and we're saying, God, what's going on? God begins to reveal to us something that we've never seen before. Joseph's told that this child is no ordinary child. That this is no ordinary event. No doubt Joseph is still struggling. But then God gives him a task. He says, now, Joseph, time for you to move. Sometimes you and I never get past the tragic moments in life because we're unwilling to move forward. And all God's people said. And no doubt any one of us in this room that have lived any length of time would have to say, boy, that's true. It doesn't mean that you forget it. It just means that you move forward. Because we see the task that God gave him involves some requirements. Joseph is instructed, don't divorce Mary. Don't have her stoned. But I want you to take her as your wife. I want you to embrace her child as if he is your own son. Joseph even told to name the child. What to name him? You'll call him Jesus. It means Jehovah's salvation, by the way. Often, the way we look at life is like watching a parade. How many of you like parades? I like parades until the big clown comes by. And then I'm like, I'm done. No more parade for me. The only thing worse than a clown would be having a bunch of little people holding on to the ropes. Amen? It's like, whoa, I'm getting out of here now. And if Ronald McDonald comes through there, you guys better get out of the way because I might shoot him. If that joker looks at me, we're done. I'm not friends with Ronald McDonald or the Burger King. But sometimes life is like a parade. You say, what do you mean it's like a parade? I need a... Tim, you're going to have to wake up back there. Turn the camera all the way up here. I'm going to use these two trees. Can you guys see all the way up here? Everybody except for Lisa, you might. Can you see? All right. Don't worry, I've not gone crazy. That happened a long time ago. All right. Okay. I want you guys to imagine that these are two buildings. Okay. Are you guys imagining? This is a building and this is a building. So this would be an alley. Teaching you guys science today, okay? All right. All right, this is like an alley. Well, I'm back here in the alley, and this building is blocking my view. The parade is coming like this, the one with the clowns in it, Ronald McDonald. I'm back here in the alley, and the parade is coming. You know what I can't see because of the buildings? I can't see the parade that's already passed. It's just a memory, right? And you know what else I can't see? I can't see what's coming. The only part that I can see is this part right here. How many of you feel like that's what your life is like sometimes? But if I could get up on top of the building, then I could look down and I could see the parade from beginning to end. I am here, but guess who is on top of the building orchestrating and making sure the parade runs properly? God does. You and I, sometimes we see through a glass darkly, and all we see is this little bit here. But I want you to know something. God is up top. He's watching it, He's orchestrating it, and He's running it. And all God's people said, that's the way we see life. All we can really see is what happens to be passing before our eyes at the present time. We have a blurred memory of that which is already gone. You know what we can simply do? Trust Him. And just trust Him. Even when our dreams are shattered, our hopes are dashed to pieces on the jagged rocks of reality, we can trust Him. May we never forget, this is true in my life and it's probably true in most of your life, may we never forget that it's from the wreckage of our greatest hurts that God often builds us and equips us for the greatest blessings. Just because the way is dark, don't stop holding on to the most powerful hand of all. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. For he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. See, God has a plan for your life. The task may not be easy, may not always be pleasant, but along the way, there will be glimpses of heaven. Along the way, on occasion, heaven will brush up against you, and you'll be amazed at what God is doing. We see the tragedy that moved or marred his life. We see the task that he was called to do. And number three, I want you to see the testimony that measured his life. The angel quotes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, and verse number 14. In verses 22 and 23, and then in verse 24, the Word of God says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. You know what I see here? Unconditional compliance. Unconditional compliance. He did. He just simply obeyed. Many men would have just walked away, probably not only from Mary, but also from the Lord at this time. God, this is too much. But not Joseph. As soon as he awoke, he arose and he carried out the command of the Lord. No doubt but that people talked about this young couple. No doubt, as the video said, the rumors went about, the whispers behind their backs. But at this moment in Joseph's life, he wasn't interested in what the community thought about him. He was only interested in what God wanted him to do. In spite of his questions, in spite of his fears, in spite of his concerns, in spite of his doubts, Joseph sets out to obey God. Can I say this? What a testimony that is. We talk about men and women of great faith in the Bible. May I say that I believe that Joseph and Mary need to be added to that list. Unwavering commitment. Unconditional compliance. He wants nothing more than to simply do the will of God. Look at verse number 25. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Here was a man that was willing to bear the shame and the reproach that had been leveled at him by the community. But I also see that he's a man that's willing to set aside his own desires, his own physical desires, in order to obey God. What a testimony. And I see as part of this testimony, it says in verse number 25, he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I see an unfailing completion. He didn't stop until he had completed what God had for him. When the child was born, Joseph took the next step of faith and he named him Jesus. Just as he had been commanded by the angel Gabriel to do. As far as we know, Joseph never faltered. He never failed in perfectly carrying out the commands of God for his life. In spite of the fact that he had been called upon to do the impossible and to obey the incredible, he never wavered. He did what God wanted him to do. I say it again. What a testimony. You know, as we move through life, we come to some measure of understanding that God has a plan to use us for His glory. But we also know this, that sometimes that plan is a little difficult to carry out sometimes. There may be some rough places along the way. May be some significant bumps in our path. But genuine faith in God never really seeks an easier path. Genuine faith in God is simply willing to go where God wants them to go. I read this recently and decided to put it in here. Real faith says, on the surface, this looks like the worst thing that I've ever faced. Still, I know God has gone ahead of me and He has planned the path I will take. Therefore, I'll not look to the right nor to the left, but I'll faithfully place my feet in the footprints He's already left in front of me. I'll follow Him wherever He sends me, and I'll not turn back in spite of what I may face. It may look like a nightmare at this moment, but I know that His plan is the best plan, that He'll take this tragedy and turn it into a triumph. Therefore I say, here I am, Lord. Send me. What will you do when your dreams become a nightmare? What will you do whenever the tragedies hit? When the task seems too great. Last slide, Ember. God is looking for people who follow Him despite the tragedies. Will you be one? Dare to be a Joseph? Dare to be a Mary? Dare to simply follow God? Maybe you're one of those that are here and you say, I'm willing. Why don't you tell Him today, Lord, here I am. Send me. I don't have to understand. I just want to obey. What a testimony. Maybe you're one of those people who's watched your dreams shatter, become a nightmare. Maybe you feel overwhelmed the task that God's assigned to you. Don't quit. Grab a hold of Him. Take His grace and simply ask Him to help you. I don't know your heart. I don't know your need here today. But I can tell you this. God will help you if you'll let Him. It doesn't matter what you're facing. If you'll simply trust, He'll always come through. Heads bowed, eyes closed today.